Well, yeah, just looking at the U.S. over the course of this past week, you know, one of the dominant influences, of course, was what was going to happen with the debt ceiling. It sort of came into sharp focus. And towards the weekend, the good news on that is that President Biden and the House Speaker McCarthy, who's Republican, they've come to an in-principle agreement. Now, that still has to be ratified by Congress, and that's complicated this week because we've got the Memorial Day public holiday today, so it's likely to be Wednesday when they get around to doing something about this, but it's probably going to go through. So we've got some positive news for the US, which is probably going to come through from that, and certainly the equity market in the US was starting to sniff at that going back to late last week. The economic data in the US, still it's pretty mixed, leaning on the soft side. So over time, we'd expect to see it softening off. So for example, the clearest signs of softening so far this year comes in the revisions to GDP. Last week we had a revision to Q1 GDP in the US, and although it's revised up slightly, it's still 1.3% annualized. That's down from 2.6% annualized going back to Q4 last year. So you've got some definite slowing through there. And the key force behind growth in US GDP was consumer spending going back to Q1. And consumer spending was up 3.8% annualized. That's actually pretty strong in returns. That will definitely come back in Q2. And that accounts why you've got one or two. The analysts are saying that when we get Q2 GDP readout in the US, that won't be out, the first reading, and that won't be out to the last week of July. But it is likely to have a negative sign on the front of it, because you're going to get this reversal in that strength running through consumer spending. Retail sales growth for the first 2 months of second quarter, when you put the two together, it's actually been negative in nominal terms. So in real terms, it's been really negative given that inflation's still high. So rather than getting this huge push from consumer spending that you've got for growth in Q1, it's going to go into reverse in Q2. And that will give you an impression that you've actually slid all the way down into negative GDP growth by the time that number comes out. Having said that, you've got some enigmatic strength in one or two of the readings in the US. So, for example, last week we had new home sales, which are still running relatively strongly. In April, new home sales rose by 4.1%. That was after a 4% increase the month before. But this week, later on, we'll get existing home sales, and that they appear to be on the other side of the ledger. They appear to be very, very weak. So you're getting this inconsistency in some of the housing data. Probably if you draw a trend line through it, there is some softening there, but it's not distinct softening. We had durable goods orders came out last week. We've had back-to-back months where durable goods orders have actually risen. So in April, they're up 1.1% after a 3.3% increase the month before. And we also had personal income, personal consumption expenditure data for the month of April. Now, these are soft, particularly if you allow for them after inflation. Whilst they're rising, they're rising at 0.4% month on month for personal income, 0.5% for personal consumption. But once you allow for inflation, that's probably coming back nearer to zero. And the other worrying element with that report last week was we got another reading of inflation in the US, and that tended to go into abeyance whilst we were worrying about the debt ceiling. But we had the core personal consumption expenditure deflator came out. This is the preferred inflation measure for the Federal Reserve, and it really isn't sort of showing much signs of coming down. For the most recent month, it was 0.4% again, month on month. And as a result of that, the annual rate, rather than being steady as the market hoped, actually rose a notch to 4.7% from 4.6% the month before. That's a long way above the 2% that the Fed needs to get to. And if you keep getting around about 0.4% month on month, you're annualizing 4.8% to 5%. So it's that's where you've still got this pressure point as far as the Fed's concerned. If you haven't got other factors which are helping to bring U.S. economic growth down, the Fed, as it watches this data, is still on a slight bias towards pushing interest rates up even further. And we've got another Federal Reserve meeting coming up in the middle of June. So yeah, that's the one that people are watching now. Are they going to pause the points? You had Powell talking about, we're watching data now, so that seemed to give an indication they might be able to pause. But some of the information which is coming through is still leaning towards perhaps a further interest rate hike. So just watching that. This week, debt ceiling stuff, watching that go through. If anything, that's going to be a boost to sentiment in the US. We could have a sort of reasonable brief rally running through risk assets. It'll probably keep going. The lift in bond yields that we've seen most of the way through May, where they've been marching up, getting out of that sense that not only is the Fed getting close to a peak in interest rates, but it's probably going to bring them down quickly. To over this last month, it's been, the Fed's still pushing interest rates up, and it's probably going to have to hold them there for a long period of time. And of course, bond yields had to adjust for that, and so we've seen that marking through bond yields over this past month. But key number this week to watch is the labour market. This is the part that's still looking pretty strong in the US. And so on Friday, we'll get the May both average hourly earnings. Average hourly earnings last month were actually pretty strong. They're up 0.5%, 4.4% year on year. It looks as if we'll get at least another 0.4% month on month. That's going to keep the annual rate of growth in average hourly earnings around about the mid-fours. So that's still problematic as far as the Fed's concerned. We're looking at non-farm payrolls too on the same day. They've been relatively strong over the last few months. Going back to the month of April, we had a 253,000 gain in non-farm payrolls. Market's looking for 180,000 for the most recent month. If it's up around that level, still on the borderline of being too strong as far as the Fed's concerned. And the unemployment rate. The unemployment rate actually came down to a new 50-year low, 3.4%, going back to the month of April. In May, they're hoping it might edge up one notch to 3.5%. It needs to start to go up. Otherwise, the Fed's in no position either to stop hiking or to have any possibility of looking at starting to reverse those interest rate hikes in the foreseeable future. So we need to see some of that softness starting to come through into the labour market. It's not been there in the US, so this is the key number coming up later in the week, which will determine where rates will likely go. China last week was quiet. People's Bank of China meeting came and went. They left their interest rate unchanged. This is a country where there's some possibility they could have actually lowered interest rates because inflation is actually low in China and has been falling, but they decided not to do that. So and this week, we're just looking at the end of month. They get all their purchasing managers' indices coming out. These have been indicative of an economy which is growing slowly. The May manufacturing PMI comes out on Wednesday, and that's the official one. It did actually dip back below 50 last month, but hoping to see that rise to around 51.4. We also get the non-manufacturing PMI. We got a pretty sharp bounce in the non-manufacturing PMI over the last few months. This is after China's come out of all sorts of restrictions. It got up to 56.4. If it holds up around that sort of level, that's an indication that things like retail sales are now driving Chinese growth. It's supportive of China's economic growth rate getting up, but not dramatically over the course of this year. We'll get the May cakes in manufacturing PMI later in the week too. That one was at 49.5 going back to the month of April. Looking for that to get up to around about 50.3. Moving to Australia. And last week, we're watching to see what the balance of data is going to be and how that's going to be interpreted by the Reserve Bank when they get to their June policy meeting, that first Tuesday in June. And we got April retail sales came out. It was flat for the month after a 0.4% increase the month before. It was a bit below market expectations. So you could put April retail sales, together with the most recent labour force reading we've had in Australia, we've had just this hint of weakness. That may predispose the RBA towards holding rates rather than putting another rate hike through. But we also had the RBA governor speaking to the House of Reps Economic Committee during the course of the week, and he'd be talking to the Senate Economic Committee during the course of this week. And it's interesting what he's been saying. He's still very, very worried about wage growth, and he virtually laid it on the line last week that, it's a choice. If you're going to go cheerleading, and he was talking to politicians for higher wage increases without some improvement in productivity, he only has one weapon, and that's to put up interest rates. And it was a pretty blunt warning. So it's going to be pretty hard working out exactly what they do in June, because the most recent wage price index was slightly on the high side of where we expect. And the government's still talking about, we've got to give this sector a pay increase because they deserve it. There's no mention of productivity change in any of this. And, that's where, the RBA is probably still on a trigger to raise interest rates further. I'm hoping, that they can hold it at 3.85% when they get to the next meeting. But it's such a line ball call at the moment, depending on some of these other issues. This week in Australia, we get home building approvals coming out on Tuesday. They were down by 0.1% last month. They're off over 10% year on year. The supply of new housing is fairly much shot. It's very, very weak at present, and that's a problem in terms of if we get any sort of demand running through the housing side, it tends to go straight up the chimney in prices. This is one of the problems trying to get that housing supply up. We'll get the April CPI. This is the new monthly CPI. That comes out on Wednesday. Now, the quarterly CPI, when we last saw it for Q1, was down to 7% year on year. We had the month of March, which was down to 6.6% year on year. It was down to 6.3% year on year. The April read, when it comes out, hoping that might get down to around about 6.1. It needs to get down to there, otherwise it's still running too high. So just watching that, things like fuel prices have been more leaning on the downside in terms of the CPI. But, we've got some service prices which have been lifting pretty sharply as well. And as we go ahead, as we get into Q2, further into Q2 and into Q3, we've got to deal with the energy price rises which have just been announced by the regulator in various states, where we've got 20% plus increases in electricity prices coming through in many states. Yes, part offset by whatever they're given in terms of the Commonwealth government for some households, but still a pretty hefty lift as far as the inflation rates are concerned when it comes through. Later in the week, we get Q1 construction work done, Q1 private capital expenditure. We're hoping that both those will have a small positive sign on them. They're some of these indicators running into the Q1 GDP report that we'll get. Q1 GDP comes out the day after the Reserve Bank meets in June, comes out the Wednesday after the Tuesday Reserve Bank meeting. At this stage, GDP looks as if it was up around about 0.5% for the first quarter. That'll keep the annual rate of change somewhere in the twos year on year. We've still got some growth running through Australia, but these components, just watching those as we go through. And then on Friday, Thursday, we've got some of the latest house price index coming out from CoreLogic. And this is problematic now for the Reserve Bank, because house prices are rising and really fast again in some of the capital cities. That is a clear indication that they probably haven't done enough to suppress demand. They actually need house prices to flatline for quite a period of time to help them with their work getting the inflation rate back down to target. and to have it, house prices taking off, even though it's something they can't control, it's the added demand coming through from immigration, they're almost obliged to try and offset that by making it more painful for people to buy houses and to really start to think about the prices they're bidding. And so, that's watching that one when it comes out, as well as April home loans coming out on Friday. Even back in March, we had a 6.5% lift in new housing finance commitments spread across owner-occupiers and investors. It's just lifting too early and too strongly as far as the Reserve Bank's concerned. And so, another one of those flags that may lean them towards a further rate hike when they get into June. Now, moving to Europe, last week we had the manufacturing PMI coming out. That certainly came down, and it's down to 44.6. This is one of the few areas where we've got economies which are clearly entering the first stages of recession. It's there almost certainly for the largest economy in Europe, which is Germany. And so down at 44.6, that's clearly pointing to softer growth running ahead for the manufacturing sector. It was down from 45.8 the month before. Services sector PMI is still not playing ball with us, so that's still in the mid-50s. It came back a bit, but not much, from 56.2 down to 55.9. And we also had another bit of a shock on the inflation front out of, not Europe, well, it is Europe, but the UK last week. Their CPI came out. There was hope that that would come back from the really high readings we've had over recent months, going back to the month of April, it was at 10.1%. Going back to March, it was at 10.1%, hoping for April that would come back to low 8s, 8.2, 8.3%. It came down, but nowhere near enough. It's back to 8.7. It's still way, way too high. And suggests stickiness running through UK inflation. In the UK, they have the wage problem that we're starting to face, but in spades, because a lot of unions there are pushing for compensation for these really high inflation increases as well. That's where the Bank of England almost certainly has a lot more work to do in terms of raising interest rates. They're already above 4% for their base rate. It's got to go way higher than that before they're finished. And looking to Europe this week, probably the major indicator coming out is the preliminary May CPI coming out in Europe. And that's getting sticky as well. It was at 7% year-on-year for the month of April. It looks as if it's going to stay at 7% for the most recent month. And the underlying inflation, or high caps as they call it there, 7.3%, even higher than the headline rate. So there's still work there for the ECB to do, even though in Europe they're really facing recession. It's staring them in the eyes at the moment in a way it's not in the US or here in Australia. But because of this high inflation rate, they've still got work to do in terms of raising interest rates further. So it's going to be an interesting week. We'll all have a little bit of a cheer when the debt ceiling deal goes through in the US. That will probably give a bit of an added boost to risk assets. But the thing that we need to bear in mind in all of this is that central banks haven't finished yet. They've still got some work to do. We're hoping that here we can maybe pause, maybe even stop at 3.85%. But the corollary of that is if we stop at 3.85%, the way the data's running here, we're going to be at 3.85% for at least a year, probably more. It's going to be a long, long time before they could even consider beginning to bring interest rates down. This is the other corollary about this. Normally when you get into periods where economic growth starts to slow, you expect bond yield curves, as much as they are in the US at the moment, to start to go really inverted. With the longer rates rallying quite strongly relative to the shorter rates, Here we've still got shorter rates to go up a bit further to reflect what's actually happening in terms of central bank interest rates. And whilst the long end potentially can rally, once we start to get more signs that growth is peeling away, the base on that is actually pretty high. They can't rally that much because we're still going to have to hold these interest rates at high levels for quite some time to get on top of this, these very, very sticky inflation rates.